The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 12, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is True Blessedness. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what does it mean to be blessed? You might say, I've been blessed with many children. That makes sense because the Bible says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Psalm 127, 3-5. Or you might think of the favorite hymn titled, God Bless America. In that hymn, a prayer is sent to God, seeking protection and guidance, as well as material blessings. Thus it seems, on the surface, that the Christian religion teaches that the blessed are those who have large families with safety, security, health, and material prosperity. And this is certainly the popular view of blessing here in America. Truth be told, the popular idea of blessings owes more to American civil religion than it does to the ideas of Jesus. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus defines for his disciples and his church who the truly blessed are. These words, which are called the Beatitudes, are the beginning of Jesus' great discourse on the mountain, what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. The entire Sermon on the Mount, which we do not hear today, we just hear the opening part of it, is a correction of or amendment to the laws and the ideas of the Old Testament law. The Beatitudes are especially a correction to Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, 1-14, God promised blessings to the Israelites in the form of large, happy families with safety, security, health, and material prosperity. Now, this promise was conditioned on their obedience to his law, and specifically the prohibition of idolatry and syncretism. Their failure to obey his laws as a nation led eventually to the dispersal of the northern tribes and later the exile of the southern tribes. The return to Palestine by the remnant of the southern tribes did not mean a return to the prosperity of the former days in the land of milk and honey. From Nehemiah until John the Baptist, the Jews were an oppressed and poor people in troubled times. When Jesus appeared, many thought that he could be the promised Messiah. People sought him out because they thought he would bring back the golden days of blessings in the form of large, happy families with safety, security, health, and material prosperity. In the Beatitudes, Jesus corrects this golden age of the Messiah type of thinking by explaining who the truly blessed are. They're not necessarily the people with large, happy families. They are not necessarily the people who have safety and security. They are not necessarily the people who have material prosperity and/or health. Believers in Christ may have some or all of these things, or they may not. True blessedness pertains to another realm, which Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven. The blessings of the kingdom of heaven are described at the end of each of the Beatitudes. And if you have your inserts, you can see those as we go through them. The first Beatitude promises the blessed that they are members of the kingdom of heaven now. Not in the future, right now. You're a member of the kingdom of heaven. The second beatitude promises the blessed that they will receive comfort, but that's in the future. It's in the future tense. It's very clear. The third beatitude promises the blessed that they will inherit the earth, and that too is in the future. The fourth beatitude promises the blessed that they will be satisfied in their search for righteousness, and that too is in the future tense. The fifth beatitude promises the blessed that they will receive mercy, again in the future. The sixth beatitude promises the blessed that they will see God. They will actually see God, but again, in the future. The seventh beatitude promises the blessed that they will be called sons of God in the future. The eighth beatitude repeats the first promise that the blessed are members of the kingdom of heaven now. So all these things belong to them by right, but it's in the future. The ninth beatitude promises the blessed that their reward is great in heaven. So if you didn't get what I'm saying here, you should observe carefully that Beatitudes 2 to 7 and 9 all refer to future blessings that believers receive in heaven. Only one blessing is reserved to believers for this life, namely that they are members of the kingdom of heaven now, and all these things belong to them by right through the merits of Christ. These are blessings that all believers receive, not because they're great, or they are good, or they're sinless, but because they have been baptized. Baptism is truly the portal into the kingdom of heaven for all who believe. But you must wait for all the other blessings until you get to heaven. And well, maybe those weren't the blessings you were looking for after all. A very insidious form of American civil religion has crept into modern American evangelicalism. It is known as the prosperity gospel and is summed up in the title of Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now. People want to be, I understand, prosperous, to be healthy, to have financial security, and to have personal safety. And they want those things now. Well, there's nothing wrong with wanting these things and pursuing them if you do so in a lawful and reasonable way without coveting. But God does not promise that he was going to give to you those things as blessings. Preachers who tell you that God will give you these things if you pray to him in a certain way or if you give them money, they're liars. In my opinion, they're not Christian at all. Look at Jesus' description of the blessed in our gospel. Jesus says that the blessed are poor in spirit. Now, Luke says they are poor in earthly goods too, Luke 6:20. Luke says that they mourn and they're sad. Well, that's in our text. And they are meek, which means everybody pushes them around, and they have no prestige or high office. They're persecuted and reviled, verses 10 and 11. And this is what Luther and Lutheran theologians call the cross, or bearing your cross. Now, who would really ever want to be blessed in this way? Blessed with suffering, persecution, reviling? Well, if this is what it means to be a Christian, who would ever sign up for it? But we should pay attention to what Jesus is not saying here. He's not saying that everyone who is poor, poor in spirit, sad, mournful, meek, persecuted, or reviled, is blessed by God and will receive rewards in heaven for their tribulations on earth. Nor is he saying that believers will have nothing but suffering and the cross in this life. What Jesus is saying that believers will sometimes, and even often, be poor, poor in spirit, sad, mournful, meek, persecuted, or reviled. And when these bad things happen to believers, Jesus wants them to know that they are still blessed. Don't let the immediacy of the discouragement take away from you the belief and trust and hope that you are among the blessed. The temporary doesn't change the eternal. Jesus wants his believers to take their eyes off the world's idea of blessedness and look to heaven, where the saints already dwell. Jesus wants you to know that your best life is still to come. Now, there's a winning title for a book. Your best life is still to come. The Lutheran theologian Martin Chemnitz summarizes the consolations which Jesus offers to believers in the Beatitudes. And he writes, this is in his Harmony of the Four Evangelists, and I quote somewhat at length. Chemnitz writes, in the first place, Jesus asserts inner spiritual consolation, namely that believers, in the midst of misfortunes, are certain that they are the children of God, and they are heirs of eternal life, and that being burdened with the cross does not conflict with the grace of God and the forgiveness of sins, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. In second place, he adds this comfort, that if God is going to give on the cross such an outcome that we can endure, 1 Corinthians 10:13. In other words, the cross that we have as individuals, God will give us the ability to endure it. Four, he either softens the burden of the cross or even delivers us from it in this life. He certainly strengthens our hearts with patience and pours comfort over it so that we can endure the cross. The third class of comforts he calls those who believe under the cross for the coming and eternal life. For he promises that it will come to pass that we are delivered and transferred from the misfortunes of this life, which the scripture calls momentary, into heaven, where we shall see God, and where it will become truly apparent that we are the children of God. He also promises a copious reward, which he is going to provide not in this life on earth, but which he deposits in heaven in eternal life. End of quote from Chemnitz. May you always remember that you are truly blessed, despite the great tribulations you may face in this world. And as a child of God, someday you will see Jesus return and receive your true reward in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.